You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 78 of Ravens Weekly, proudly sponsored by our good friends at GPM Group. On this very hot day, I'm delighted to be joined by James and Jeff as always. Hi guys.
Yeah, hi guys, good to be back.
Well, the good news is there's plenty to go through on today's episode. Obviously, we have been away for a couple of weeks and we do apologise, but we are back with a bang. And to start us off today, I'm going to pass over to you, Jeff. There's been some news and I'm sure a lot of supporters will have seen it already this week on the National League front and a proposed restart plan.
Thank you, Matt. Hello, everyone. I hope you're all safe and well. I just wanted to start before the National League update just by thanking all the season ticket holders who have got in touch and replied to our emails with regards to the season ticket refund, whether you've asked for the refund or whether you've happily donated it to the football club. It's just been great to hear from everyone and feel that support for the football club when we've been communicating. So a big thank you to everybody who's replied either way. And I know we're over £7,000 raised so far for the football club, which is a fantastic achievement. I know it's greatly appreciated by everyone at the club. On to the National League update. Yes, Matt, like you say, the National League have confirmed a proposed start date of Saturday, the 3rd of October 2020. That's still to be confirmed by the FA Council, but it is a date that's being put forward. Full league schedule, 46 league fixtures for our league is planned, and they're going to extend the season by a further month. So the last game will be on Saturday, the 29th of May. So with the league effectively running 2 months behind, we're going to have an extra month to fit all of the football in. So it's going to be an incredibly busy time once we do get underway. And of course, all of this is obviously just proposed dates. Obviously, even yesterday we were hearing the news of obviously the easing of lockdown being stopped in certain areas and the cancellation of sporting event pilots that were taking place at the Goodwood Festival and the cricket at the Oval, etc. So as much as it's a positive update, it's definitely one we're looking at with cautious optimism. But nevertheless, obviously, it does aid us in continuing our planning and our preparation for some kind of return and gives us a date and a goal to aim towards. One of the challenges we're obviously going to have is with regards to stadium capacity. So there's going to be numerous protocols and restrictions in place. We have a conference call with the National League next Thursday, which is an operations meeting where they're going to outline the procedures, restrictions that they wish to put in place and put on clubs, and hopefully some guidance and advice on how clubs can do that. But a lot of it is going to come down to the individual clubs, and we know this magical percentage figure has been thrown about that clubs can have X percentage inside their ground. It's not that straightforward. There's an 85-page document from the Sports Ground Safety Authority that's been issued. It's in draft format at the moment, but it's incredibly detailed and allows us to plan ahead and look at what our potential COVID secure capacity is going to be with inside Hayes Lane. And you know, on early inspection, I hate to be drawn on an exact figure, but you're looking at almost half of what our average crowd was last season. We've still got to work with the local authority and the police and still work and produce our documentation to find that final number. But it is going to be severely restricted, and that's going to have a massive impact on income and all sorts to do with the football club. So I really hope fans can understand and can continue to be patient with us while we work through this process. I hope you understand, obviously, it is still, unfortunately, a bit too early for us to be able to put together our ticketing and season ticket details for next season and share them with you. But I can assure you we're working as quickly as possible to get those details in place so we can make those informed decisions and share them with supporters as soon as possible. So I can just thank you for your continued patience at the moment. But obviously in more positive news, Matt, you've obviously got the squad update, and I know fans have unfortunately heard elements of the squad update from two separate sources, with a couple of players being announced before we've managed to get our squad update. The reasoning for that is we haven't had agreements in place with players until the 31st of July, so we were never in a position to be able to announce anything until the 1st of August. And it's the 1st of August and here we are. So again, we're all fans around this table. None of us like to hear about our players from another club, but there were reasons for it. The whole plan was, while they've got agreements in place until the 31st of July, it's for us to be able to then obviously make those announcements on the 1st of August. So, Matt, you've got the full update, and I think once you finish that, you guys all know everything that we know at the moment.
Absolutely. So, starting with that list, we're going to kick off with the players that are leaving us or have left us, I should say. Adam Mecky, Jake Goodman, Josh Rees, Jordan Higgs, Sam Wood, Dave Winfield and Andre Coker have all departed. And obviously Corey Whiteley, who was on loan from Newport, has returned to his parent club. A lot of you will have seen that some of those players have already joined up with other teams. Adam Mecky has gone to Ebbsfleet. Jake Goodman has joined him there at Stonebridge Road as well. And Josh Rees has agreed to join Aldershot. So best of luck to all of those,
absolutely,
I think, who are leaving, James. Let's just talk about them individually, briefly, and maybe some memories of each of them. Starting off with Adam Mecky, I think, for me, James, the best memory of him mixed in with the emotion of that day was Wembley and just how he was the best player on the pitch.
Yeah, man of the match, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
In that game, famously set up Omar Begill for the goal that we scored in open time. So, yeah, again, someone who came into the club and was immediately became a fan favourite, just someone who was always setting up goals or creating chances and just sort of typified what a winger was, you know, quick, pacey, skillful. Obviously had that really horrible injury, which, it's devastating for any player to have an injury like that, because you will inevitably lose potentially a yard of pace and maybe even sort of lack a bit of confidence. But the way Mecky came back and how he handled himself was really great to see. And he will go down as one of those great players that played for us at that Wembley final. As of course did Josh Rees and Jordan Higgs, who we'll move on to.
And I mean, obviously, to come back from that injury and actually feature in the club's first home game of this season, which was Ebbsfleet, ironically, was exceptional given the injury that he suffered in the January, and to be back just a handful of months later and made that appearance and actually getting back to full fitness, enjoying his football again. And let me just add as well that his attitude, his mental strength was just so
incredible
during
it
that
was,
period. That would break a lot of players mentally,
really
not just
would.
Physically, mentally. And he avoided that. He was really committed to his rehab program. He worked really, really hard, worked his socks off to get back. And you could just see his delight.
Yeah.
I remember there was almost a standing ovation when he came onto the pitch in that game. Obviously, a 3-1 win was great on that night as well. And he was really well received. So good luck to him. Brilliant
Absolutely.
Goal against Halifax shortly after that as
and
well.
The passion and that celebration really just typified what that all meant to him. And it was amazing. I absolutely loved that when that goal went in, because it was just fantastic for him. And yeah, the delight that just, you know, came out of that was amazing.
It was on the front page in the non-league
wasn't
it?
Great photo
from Ed Boyden
amazing photos of that. Really, really great scenes there.
Moving on then, Jake Goodman, obviously the one that everybody is going to pick out, a very, very solid player.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, had that ACL injury, which kept him out for a year.
Yeah.
It's been over a year since that, nearly a year and a half now that he's been out. Good luck to him. He's gone to Ebbsfleet, which is local to where he lives now. But the moment for me was that coming on the 89th minute against Sutton. As soon as he comes on the pitch, I think he was on there about 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and he heads in the winner against Sutton, which
was on live TV.
Yeah. Amazing.
It was so good. Thrown straight into the thick of it, and you could sort of just see how it really did hot things up in that box. You know, you had the sort of Sutton defenders scrambling to try and decide who to mark him, and the ball was perfectly placed onto his head, and he finished that. And yeah, great scenes from Jake Goodman. But again, someone where an injury obviously sort of brought his time playing for Bromley short. But throughout his whole time here, it's been an absolute pleasure to sort of work alongside. And again, I wish him and Adam all the best at Ebbsfleet.
And obviously he coached the academy as well recently. He used the time that he was out injured to develop himself as a coach and went on to pass his knowledge down to the academy players. So something I'm sure they're all very grateful for. The academy and Mark Hammond are grateful for, and we're grateful for everything he gave to the club. Could I say grateful any more times? I'll leave it for a few seconds. Yeah. So Jordan Heeks now, a bit of an emotional one really.
Yes,
this isn't
it?
Jordan's
it is.
Someone who's been here for, I wouldn't like to guess how many years, possibly 10 years.
Somebody it's got to be close.
Mike can correct me on that possibly. And somebody who came through his actual youth team in the academy with Neil as his manager.
Yeah.
And I know it's been a very emotional for Neil as well for that to come to an end. But the most successful, without a doubt, academy graduate of all time at Bromley.
No, again, a great story. And Jordan has been fantastic for the club. Often did go under the radar, I think, just because of the fact that he did take on that sort of utility man role. He was used, obviously, in the Wembley final at right back. He's played throughout midfield on the wing and in his favourite position, which I'm pretty sure is central midfield. He's obviously played there, scored some cracking goals. The one away at the start of the season against Fylde springs to mind. Of course, that one against Eastleigh.
What a strike.
Thunderbolt.
How did he hit that?
35 yards.
From that distance.
The technique is outstanding.
It just sort of caresses the net as it goes in. I could watch that over and over again.
I have been this week, I'm not going to lie. You'll see the videos we've done for the guys leaving. And yeah, that goal. As soon as I brought that back up onto my screen, I was like, oh my God. I mean, how have I almost forgotten about this goal? It was probably the best goal in recent times. And yeah, Jordan, it's been a great player for us. And as you say, the story with him and Smudge is a really nice one. Obviously, again, keep referring back to Wembley, but it must have been such a proud moment for both of them. The fact that he was starting an academy graduate from the football club, walking out in the first team for Bromley at Wembley is an amazing feat, especially for our academy and, of course, for Jordan. What a moment in his career.
And about Jordan as well, just something that I think we'll all miss around here, and actually about all the players that we've mentioned already, is just how humble all of them are.
Absolutely.
and how dedicated they were in their time here, how approachable and friendly, always happy to do interviews. Absolutely fantastic to work with all of them, and really, we're not finished yet, but just on that note, a real pleasure. The next one, Sam Wood, a real club legend.
He is.
There's no doubt about that.
That's such correct word. He is a club legend, no doubt about it. Two spells of us, well over, again, what is it, 14 years potentially it's been, sort of he's associated with the club, maybe even longer, joining from Cray Wanderers. Again, just owns that left-back position when he came back. Someone that would be one of the first names on the team sheet.
Just so consistent.
And
Mr. Consistent.
Consistency. Again, an absolute club legend he will go down as. And sad to see him go. Great player for the squad. A lot of maturity to his end. And he would always, I'd always seen him in training, giving advice to Jack, to the other defenders. Obviously has a great knowledge of the game from playing in the Football League. And he's been a great, again, servant for the club.
And you'd always see his family down here as well, which
is
brilliant. Family came to watch every single game, I think. So best of luck to Sam and his family for the future. I'm sure he'll be a success in whatever he goes on to do. Obviously, just a couple more names to mention. A big thank you to Dave Winfield and Andre Coker, who are more short-term players that came in towards the end of last season. Thanks for their contribution. I wish them all the best. And Corey Whiteley, of course,
who
came in on loan and really seemed to get into his groove, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the season cut short. But again, that goal against Solihull was stopped that losing run, didn't it?
It was. And as you say, he really kicked on now after a bit of a shaky debut. Obviously, going straight onto a live TV game. But after that, he really did kick on. And having him and Luke Coulson on both sides of the wing, you could see that the progression of the team was there, and there's just a lot of excitement in that forward line in that latter part of the season, sort of around March February time. And real shame that the season was cut short, as you say, because he looked like he was kicking on massively there.
Well, for all of those players and the team in general, for the club, who knows what would have knows what those final months would have held and what those final games would have seen us achieve, because you know, without being disrespectful, a lot of the teams that we were going to play were lower in the table than us, and a lot of them down the bottom and really struggling. So, yeah. You know, Chorley being the game that it all sort of stopped on was really disappointing because they were bottom of the league and pretty much guaranteed relegation. So
exactly. So speaking of sort of reigniting almost sort of a form within the season, obviously Josh Rees is moving on as well, he really sort of started to sort of score the goals.
Christmas time, wasn't it? Yeah, really found his feet.
One against Barnet. Obviously, we lost that game, but a really cultured finish. And again, Josh Rees is someone who's
all over the park, isn't he?
Yeah, been at the club over two spells now. And that first spell, he was really utilised as that box to box. And a lot of his goals,
20 of them in that season.
Yeah. Amazing record. Again, I was looking back over them this week, and he really was that. You know, someone pulls the ball back into the box, he was there. He was in that six-yard box. A lot of his goals, not necessarily tap-ins, but really well-placed finishes from inside the box. And he was fantastic at that. Second spell coming back after moving to Gillingham, he, again, just hit the ground running. Obviously had to battle between Frankie Raymond and Billy Bingham for those central midfield spots. So he was sometimes played out on the
competition
wing.
Competition for places, wasn't it?
It was just amazing to have that depth in the squad. And when Josh did play, he really gave his all. You could see the emotion and in his play. He was so dedicated, and whilst he might not be a voice on the field, he was certainly a presence on the field. You know, would never shy away from a tackle, and when he did hit them, they usually stay hit. You know, some of his goals this season have been great finishes.
A very, very smart guy as well. Very clever guy, intelligent player on and off the pitch. Good luck to all of those players that we've spoken about. Now for the good news, James.
Yes.
You're going to talk us through the players that have been retained by the club, if you'd like to do that.
Yeah, it's great to finally bring you some positive news. We'll start from the top. So Mark Cousins is retained, Ryan Huddart, Joe Kizzy, Chris Bush, Jack Holland, Luke Coulson, Frankie Raymond, Michael Cheek, Billy Bingham, Adrian Clifton and Ben Williamson.
A really good core there, isn't it?
Amazing. To have those players committed for the future, for the next season, it's a great base for Neil to work around. And obviously, there will be some additions, no doubt. But for this moment in time, that is a great, as you say, sort of nucleus to work from.
It is. And obviously, as all of you will have seen on the press release, Neil is in discussions with potential new signings. Yep. So hopefully we'll have some news in the coming weeks for you on that front. And of course, as soon as we're able to, we'll bring that straight to you. So it's hopefully going to be an exciting time then when that starts happening. I really love that time, you know, seeing the new players come in and have their walk around. And most of them have seen it already, if not all of them, and just sort of getting to know them and then obviously watching them train and finally put the jersey on and represent the club.
It's amazing to have that sort of 3rd of October date in our heads now.
It is, isn't it?
Whilst, as Jeff mentioned, it hasn't been fully confirmed by the FA, at least it's something for everyone to now put their full focus towards, and it means that a pre-season schedule can be put in place. It means that, you know, hopefully we can be welcoming back the players, management, coaching staff soon. And as you say, we'll... The players that I've mentioned earlier, the retained, will hopefully be meeting some new colleagues in the near future, and we'll be able to get that pre-season buzz going once more. You know,
definitely.
A few months later than usual, but yeah, the excitement of announcing new players and things like new kits, and yeah, it's going to be amazing to finally have that, and the fact that we can now start working towards that 3rd of October date is just such a delight for everyone. But for me personally, I know it is. I'm sure everyone else is thinking the exact same.
It's edging closer, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's really going to show when it does come around just how much everyone's missed it.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm aware there's going to be restricted crowds at the start, and obviously every single club is going to have to deal with that on an individual basis because every club's unique. The stadium is different.
Yeah.
No two clubs are the same in terms of what they can hold safely in their stadium.
Yeah.
With these new guidelines. So, you know, while we hope for a return to normality in the not too distant months, obviously initially it will look slightly different and we're going to have to adapt to that as a club and we're going to need your support with it as well. So whenever we can bring you more information on anything regarding that, we will of course do so, as Jeff touched on earlier. Our question of the week, which we're going to come to later on, is regarding the players that have left us. And of course, leave with our best wishes.
Yeah.
We'll come on to that later. I just want to mention before we do move on, there are two staff members who have left us as well on the playing side of things. Jim Stannard, who's the goalkeeping coach, has moved on, as has the physio, Paul Smith. And James, obviously, as the kit manager, worked a little bit with them last year. So yeah. I'm sure you'll miss them.
Yeah, absolutely. Great characters, both of them. Jim, obviously, having the career he did, it was amazing to be able to work alongside someone like that. And he had an absolute wealth of experience. And to actually see the way he coached our goalkeepers, and I think Ryan Huddart as a case study, you know, came in, hadn't had much match fitness and match sort of, you know, sharpness, came into us, and honestly, the transformation, I can't really describe it, but Ryan will be the first to say it as well, that Jim's coaching really did, you know, improve him. Even, I hope Ryan doesn't mind me saying, even the fact that sort of, you're just losing weight as well, you know, and becoming just fitter, and you could see it happen just so quickly. So full credit to Jim for that. He was great this year, and obviously with Mark Cousins as well. I mean, both of them worked brilliantly together, and it just shows in Mark's performances this season for us. All the best, Jim. Great working alongside you, and of course Paul Smith. Stories and yeah, was, always had one to sort of share in the physio room. And yeah, again, it's just experience from him. He's been around the game quite a while, been at a few clubs. So, again, all the best to both of them. They've been great for the club this year.
And just to pick up on that point, good luck to them both. Just to pick up on that point about Paul, obviously had a very, very busy season last year, a lot of injuries. And really, you've never seen anything like it in terms of loans being recalled and a whole host of injuries that were just occurring left, right and centre that really, really dented our position at the top of the table, and slowly we sunk down, unfortunately, due to many reasons. But obviously the injuries is the most significant part of that, and Paul was really kept on his toes all season. So thanks to Paul for his efforts treating the injured players last year, and good luck to him for the future. And I'm sure he'll do well in whatever he chooses to move on to. And the same goes for Jim as well. So that's the squad update for this episode. We hope to have some more news for you, as I mentioned earlier, in the coming weeks on some arrivals for you, which will be very exciting. And of course, where possible, try and get interviews with any new signings that come in as well. And also catch up with Neil Smith as well in the next few weeks on his plans for the squad and pre-season, of course. So let's move on now, James. There's a few other topics for us to discuss. The first one is the summer soccer camp. So I'll talk about that one.
Yeah, go for it.
We are absolutely delighted to be running our summer soccer camps all throughout August in a COVID-safe environment, which has been used by the academy, and the systems that have been put in place are remaining the same. They've been a success with the academy. We've got very limited numbers left. If you are interested in booking your child on, it runs every week in August, Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. You can get a week pass or you can get daily passes. Week one is now completely sold out. There are no spaces left next week. Week two is nearly sold out, so if you are looking to get your child in for week two, get it booked up ASAP, and there's still plenty of spaces available in week three and four. Delighted to have some fantastic coaches involved with that, and we're really looking forward to it as the football club slowly comes back to life, and the footballing world, I guess, comes slowly back to life. Next one, James, is the season ticket refund donations, and we've been monitoring this, you know, as a club, and I think you've got the figure in front of you,
absolutely,
haven't you,
for the amount donated back. As we've stated across the website and social media, we're extremely grateful to each and every supporter who kindly donated their season ticket refund back to the club. And so far, the current total donated back to the club is £7,324.93. And again, just thank you so much for those who decided to donate it back to the club. We've received some amazing messages from our supporters, and we're just so humbled and grateful for that. If you haven't, Matt, we're still waiting on some responses at all?
Yeah, we are, yes.
Yeah, so if you haven't, please just contact us by email, info@bromleyfc.co.uk, and we'll deal with the request. Once again, just thank you on behalf of everyone. It's an amazing total. That total now was £7,324.93 has been donated back to the club.
And it's rising every day, which is great to see. You know, even Jeff saying when the emails go out, more people just respond. And I think another thing he highlighted when we talked to him earlier was just the kindness of some of the messages and the real heartfelt, emotional responses that the club's received. So to everyone who's done that, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I know that all of us are really looking forward to getting back to it as much as all of you are, and we can't wait till we're all together again and able to enjoy our common love, which is Bromley FC, and watching Bromley FC play. So big thank you to everyone who's contributed to that. It's an outstanding figure. And yeah, like you say, James, the scary thing is that that's not far from all of the responses. So if you haven't responded so far, please do info@bromleyfc.co.uk. If you'd like your refund, that's fine. If not, and you'd like to donate to the club, just let us know either way. And Jeff will get that sorted for you. So, moving on from that one now. Some of you will have seen an exciting partnership that was renewed earlier this week on a sponsorship front. It's a big well done to Jeff and Jerry for that and everybody else involved with it. We're delighted to be extending our relationship with local estate agents Langford Russell, who are part of the Acorn Group. And as part of that partnership, we're incredibly proud to be working with the Acorn Book Club, which is an initiative where the local community can donate their pre-loved books, ideally books for kids aged 3 to 11. And they drop them into various points, i.e. the estate agents in the borough, and they can then collect them and give them to people who really need them. We're delighted that the football club now is going to be a drop-off point for those, and we're going to be trialling that in our soccer camps. So for our soccer camp attendees, if they've got any pre-loved books that they are looking to shift, we will gladly take them and donate them to the Acorn Book Club, who will then distribute them to places like schools who really need them, community centres, other places like that. So, James, it's really nice to be involved with an initiative like that.
A great scheme, by the sounds of it. And again, it's amazing that we can be involved in that and do our bit to help out the Acorn Book Club. I'm really excited to see how it goes, and hopefully we get lots of donations and are able to share some books around.
And of course, thank you to Langford Russell for their continued support now of our Bromley FC youth teams, which is great to see. So big thank you to them. James, the news that has come, I guess, in the past a couple of days with very little notice is the return of the academy, which it seems like they've just finished, but they actually have just finished.
Yeah. Well, we were saying that the success of their sort of return before the summer holidays and sort of how we use them to run through our COVID secure and risk assessments and things like that. And it was such a success, and we spoke about it quite a lot on previous podcasts. But the academy are returning for pre-season training in the coming weeks. So again, great for the scholars to be back in training. I think we'll be welcoming in the new cohorts of students. Again, amazing for people, students who might not have actually been to the club before, and they'll be coming in for the first time and getting their experience within the academy. So it would be amazing once again to be welcoming them back. Again, it would be great for the coaches to be able to be back out there doing what they love. Equally, the students as well, being back out there playing football at Bromley Football Club. So yeah, amazing to have them back, and great news. I'm sure they probably were expecting a little bit longer rest than that, but you know, in this current time, I think the main thing is the fact that they're out and about and doing something and keeping active.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's just another sign of just how much the footballing world and the club is coming back to life. You know, the academy are going to be here. It's going to be a bit busier, I think is the word I'm looking for, which is really nice. And obviously all of that is done safely, and there are rigorous systems and checks in place to ensure that that can happen.
Yeah, we've got one-way systems, hand sanitizer stations.
But it's almost hustle and bustle again, isn't it? Which is what we love and what we see on a daily basis during the normal season at the club and during more normal times. And that's what we're working towards now. And pending no bad news, that's hopefully what we're going to start to get to in October sort of time. So, it'd be great to welcome them back. I'm sure if the weather's like this, all of them will absolutely love training for 5 minutes and then want to stop, have their water breaks. Best of luck to all of the new academy scholars, as you mentioned, James, coming in, and all of those returning for their second year. I know there's a lot of talent in and amongst there, and I'm sure a lot of them will be involved with the first team in the coming season as well. Moving on now, I think it's the final couple of bits now. James, just wanted to touch on the club shop first and foremost. It's still online, isn't it?
It absolutely is. We're looking at the stock, and it's still up there. There's plenty to get your hands on. The player shirts have been very, very popular, absolutely flying off. But there are still some available, so make sure you get online and grab yours while you can.
Also, some great news, the fact that we are able to provide Bromley FC face masks, face coverings. You can pre-order them now from the website. We believe that the delivery will be very, very soon. So thank you to those who have pre-ordered already. We've had a great uptake on those, something that will obviously be very, very useful for this current time. And yeah, plenty of other items still up on there. The Bromley FC Bears, which we always like to give a little plug to. So yeah, just jump onto our website, www.bromleyfc.co.uk. The online club shop there is there, and also the article to pre-order your face mask from. Also give a shout out to the 100 Plus Club. It was the July draw very recently. Again, great to see us getting closer and closer to that target 500 in the 100 Plus Club. I think we're up to 343 numbers.
343, yeah. And just to touch on, obviously this has been in place since 2011. Yeah. The total raised to the club so far in that time, and this is not inclusive of the next draw, so this is just up to July, £27,447.10. Wow. So a massive thank you, as always, to John and Arthur, who
incredible.
Work hard to make that happen. And actually, credit to the club for getting it out there in this lockdown. And, and actually, all the supporters who've committed to it as a means to help the club through this time. I think Mash won first prize, didn't
he?
£343.
Mega.
And that's only going to go up, isn't it?
That's incredible. That's the beauty of it. You know, the more people that get involved, the bigger the prizes are. And yeah, you're looking at the winners, and even down to sort of the fourth ball, you're still over £100 in prize money.
It's well worth doing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's well. I've only won once, but we've been over that story before. So,
That's incredible. And obviously, edging ever closer to that 30,000 raise for the club. I mean, that will be an amazing thing.
It will. And people are still joining up. We're still having, you know, I know John has said there's still plenty of requests coming in, and more people are still willing to join, which is fantastic. So hopefully, you know, we're looking at sort of Christmas time. We may have that 500 figure, which is the ambitious target that we've set.
Yeah, we set
very
it.
Achievable.
So achievable, amazing. But yeah, again, thank you to everyone for their uptake on that. It's amazing to see how much it's grown in the past few weeks, even.
It is, isn't it? So yeah, big thank you to John, Arthur, everybody who is part of the 100 Club. And we look forward to the next draw, and we'll obviously put the results of that on the website, and the winners will be contacted individually as well. If you are interested in joining, just visit our website, bromleyfc.co.uk, and you can find the information on there, or pop an email to info@bromleyfc.co.uk if you'd like more details on it. I think, James, that is it, apart from our fans' question, which I will go through in a moment. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. Again, just want to give a massive shout-out to Adam Mecki, Jake Goodman, Josh Rees, Jordan Higgs, Sam Wood, Dave Winfield, Andre Coker, and Corey Whiteley for everything they whilst they've been at the club. Again, absolute pleasure to work alongside, and I really do wish them all the absolute best.
Very much so, echoing those thoughts, James, and I'm sure we'll see one or two of them again in the future playing against us probably.
Yeah.
So best of luck to all of those. And with those players in mind, our question for this week is, what are your favourite memories of the Bromley players that are leaving us? You don't have to do one for all of them. You can choose one player if you like we've gone through one for each player, or you can do them all. It's up to you. James, how can people get in touch?
So you can tweet us at Bromley FC on Twitter. Make sure you use the hashtag Ravens Weekly. You can also comment on the Facebook post we put out when this podcast is live. There'll also be a post out on Instagram. Again, this is all at Bromley FC. Just search those on the various social media channels. Just leave a comment. You can also email us, and that's podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk. Really look forward to hearing your memories. Plenty there. We did list some, as you said, Matt, earlier. Some great goals, some great moments. Looking forward to those.
Just watching Gareth at the minute, slightly off topic, who has just been, for this entire podcast, just been laying on the floor mat by the door, just not moving.
Bless him.
It's a very hot day.
Do not envy him one bit.
But he's loving life, isn't he? He's eating his food and he's chilling out and he's being waited on, isn't he, almost? But yeah, I think a lot of people actually initially, when the lockdown came into place, people were commenting about Gareth. How's Gareth? Who's feeding Gareth? Don't worry, he's safe and well. And
very well,
I think
he's been fed a lot.
He's put on a little bit of weight, hasn't he?
Over
lockdown. He needs to get out there and chase some more mice in the field. But yes, a big thank you to everybody who's tuned in today. James and Jeff, thank you to both of you for joining me as well. It's been great to be back with you. Great to bring you the updates that we've had. Stay tuned for more, and we hope to be back with you again very soon. Take care. Bye for now. And that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.